Nigeria Info. I'm listening.
Good morning, Lagos. This is Wiba Boer back for a new year, 2019. Happy New Year to everybody. It's been great to be off for a little while, but I'm happy to be back. And today we have a fantastic guest by the name of Femi Adeyemo, the CEO of Arnergy. He's one of the pioneers in the off-grid renewable energy space in Nigeria, and I know we're going to have a delightful show today with him. So, Femi, it's great to have you on the show. Happy New Year. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Wiba.
All right.
Good morning, Lagos. Good morning, Nigeria.
All right, so we're going to start this morning. I just want to ask you the question of your own personal journey, your own entrepreneurial journey that brought you into this space. You know, everybody, this is a new sector, and so everybody who's in it, there's kind of a story that brought them there. So if you could tell us about your career and how you ended up working on trying to solve Nigeria's power problems.
Okay, I'll start from the university days. So I had my first degree, obviously, in Nigeria.
Why is that obvious?
Yeah, it's obvious from my accent, right?
Okay.
So I'm fully born and bred in Nigeria. So,
but so am I. And I still have an accent, so anyway. No
okay.
problem. Go ahead.
That's a conversation for another day, right?
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, so my first degree... I studied computer engineering from Ladoke Akintola University of Technology, Ogbomosho. Right while I was in the university, I mean, I could tell that, the entrepreneur bug has beaten me right from there, because I could remember those days when more of networking then. So I remember then Cyber Cafe was the hint thing. I had to set up Cyber Cafe for a lot of companies. I was studying in Ogbomosho, but of course, there was no mobile connectivity then. This was 1998, 99, thereabouts. So I will take a bus from Ogbomosho to go to Ibadan to set up email addresses for people.
Wow.
And I was charging students in the university for that. That's where it started. Then when VSAT, then the KU and the CU band were starting, I was setting up cyber cafes for people in Ogbomosho and even in Ibadan, in Oyo State. I was still in the university. So I remember when I had my internship, that was 2000 in Lagos, so that opened my eyes. Then went back to Ogbomosho to finish the final year, which was 2002. I then was employed as a network manager, 500 level, a network manager controlling, the largest cyber cafe in the Ogbomosho then. Okay, so that gave me an experience into networking. And then by the time I went for my NYSC, again, because of the networking experience that I had, Cisco was the main thing. While I was in NYSC, I served in Ebonyi State, but during my NYSC, I remember I was commuting to Lagos almost every month. I finished my CCNP certification, that's writing CCNA and CCNP. So from there, I was able to get into the telecommunication industry, because it was just starting then, early 2000, and I got hired by one of the mobile network vendor, who is arguably the largest in the world now. As one of the pioneer staff to get on the mobile network, access network for, the largest mobile telecom company in Nigeria now. So we were on the vendor side working for the Chinese vendor, and I was responsible for, at the time, rolling out the whole of the network. We started from the Abuja, North Central, Northwest, and then coming back to the Southwest.
So you were doing all this as you were in your early 20s. Most of this was self-taught.
Yeah, absolutely. So early 20s, 2004. Yeah.
Wow.
Self-taught.
Okay.
Yeah. So and then when I got hired, still my journey, but I will bring that into why I'm doing what I'm doing now, because that experience with the mobile vendor and working on the largest mobile network made me see Nigeria. I traveled across at least 33 out of 36 states between 2005 Q1 and 2006 Q4.
Wow.
Right. So obviously that opened up my mind and I saw opportunity in Nigeria, traveling across, different states, different communities, different cities. It helped me to be who I am today.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that then, the experience was enough for me to land, to move abroad. So I moved to Sweden for a master's degree in IT, just to broaden my knowledge. I was in the middle of the course when I got an offer in South America. So now in late 20s, I got an offer as a consultant in a country called Suriname, which is north of Brazil. So I moved out of Sweden. Moved to UK initially. I got into UK with an highly skilled migrant program, which is what Canada and a lot of other countries are doing now. They were looking for the best to come into England to help with a lot of sectors where they have skill gaps. So I moved into UK then, and I didn't stay long in UK. I was supposed to probably lead into a British passport, but I thought I needed to see the world more, and I needed to add more to my skills. And the offer was too good for a 27-year-old boy to refuse.
So you went to Suriname?
Yeah, so I moved to Suriname, beautiful country.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And who's the most famous person from Suriname?
That's Seedorf.
Clarence Seedorf, all those guys.
Yeah, so all those guys, they actually visited while I was in Suriname, so it was a good experience to meet them one-on-one then. So I was in Suriname, and then I wasn't done touring the world. So from Suriname, I got another role in Oman.
In the same company?
No. So I was a freelance consultant. Okay. I was working for myself.
Okay.
So I got a role with another company. That's Oman Telecoms.
Okay.
So I moved from Suriname to the Middle East. People were like, oh, Middle East. Are you sure that is safe? But, that is the experience that touring the world made me to see, because some things we just air, but when you experience it, you see that it's a different ball game. So I was in Oman for more than four and a half years precisely, building out mobile networks for Oman Telecoms. They just got the license to roll out 3G across the country, and that was a very...
But what did you learn along the way that led you to see solar as a solution for Nigeria?
Absolutely. So it was when I was in Oman, right? I was in Oman and I saw that there were a few cell sites.
Okay.
That Oman is a country. On one side you have the sea, on the other side you have the desert.
Right.
And some of these deserts, they are hard to reach places.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so I remember if you want to access the site, you need to hire an helicopter.
Wow, okay.
So that got them thinking, and they realized that it won't make sense for them to run those cell sites using generator.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike what I had experienced while I was building the mobile network when I was working in Nigeria, where you still have on most of those sites, mm-hmm. 2 generators per site.
Right.
So the necessity then in Oman then made them to invent.
Mm-hmm.
And like they say, necessity is the mother of invention. So they invented, quote and unquote, to use solar to power some of those cell sites that are in hard to reach locations. So instead of having to hire helicopters maybe two or three times a week, they didn't have to, because they use solar to power those locations.
Right.
So this was 2010, and when I look at the record, I saw that some of those sites have existed for more than 10 years. Okay. I asked myself, why on solar?
Yeah.
So if solar is this reliable, why are we not using it in Nigeria?
Exactly.
So that's where the research started from my end to see how can we apply the technology to solve the, I mean, instead of just complaining every now and then that we don't have electricity in Nigeria, can I be part of the solution?
Right.
That's what...
So then you packed up and came home?
Yeah.
After you toured the world?
I can tell you it wasn't an easy decision, but I mean, yeah, great things might not, I mean, be easy in the, I mean, when you're starting out, but I mean, looking back, yeah, I mean, no regrets.
So tell me about the Arnergy story. So it started in Oman when you saw how reliable solar was.
Right.
And how it obviously made sense for Nigeria, where we have such a big power problem and so much sun.
Absolutely.
So did you start the company already while you were in Oman, or did you come back first and get it going, and then how did it
go?
So
I moved back to Nigeria June 2013, and by August, the company was incorporated. So I've reached out to lawyers, consultants that would help in setting it up. So initial search had been done, but it was when I eventually moved back home that the company was incorporated.
And where does the name come from? Where did you get the name Arnergy?
Okay, so of course, I mean, I was still in Oman and I was trying to, of course, I mean, because of my experience touring the world, I've worked with multinationals. I wasn't looking out to build a forever tiny company. So I want a name that globally people could relate to it. So I mean, I know it is energy, so is it solar energy, is it Solarville? Or at the end of the day, I'm like, okay, I'm going back home to set up a company in alternative energy. That alternative is renewable and it's energy, so why can't I just call it energy? So the A is a short form of alternative, the R is renewable, and we clip the E from energy.
All right.
To make it.
Oh, I always thought it was African renewable energy.
No,
it's alternative.
Alternative.
Because you wanted it to be global. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, even though we're starting from Nigeria, so we call ourselves a global company.
Okay.
So that means a local company, but with a global mindset.
Okay. So now 2013, this was before there was really any government focus on off-grid, certainly no government focus on renewables.
No.
And even sort of in the psyche of the Nigerian public, this wasn't really thought of. It was still the time when everyone thought your power comes from the grid.
Absolutely.
And alternatively, some generator.
Right.
And nothing else. And we hadn't even privatized yet. So
that's correct.
So what kind of response did you get at first?
I can tell you it was tough. And maybe I think I can share this. So I remember how it all started. So it was a weekend where, I mean, I was living specifically Magodo GRE, Magodo Shangisha in Lagos. And in my mini estate, there was a resident association meeting. And I mean, these were very learned people. And the major talking point of that meeting was electricity problem. Mm-hmm. And I asked them, why don't you use solar? And everybody laughed. He said, solar?
This is just 5 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Solar. And I mean, I'm telling you, very high learned people, CEOs of companies, some of them public companies. So I said, why not solar? And they laughed and said, solar? Can't you see some of those solar street lights that are not working? And I mean, as you're driving into the estate and all that. Some of them said, maybe it's the weather. And one person said, yeah, he just came back from Israel, and as the plane was touching down, you could see solar everywhere. It doesn't get it why solar doesn't work in Nigeria. Okay. What I didn't tell you is before I moved back to Nigeria, I ensured that my house was already wired with solar. Purchase all the equipment, get solar installed in my house, fully powered. So I told them during the meeting that, anyway, you are all saying solar is not working. I will invite you to my house after the meeting. Come and see solar at work.
Mm-hmm.
So after the meeting, about 60% of the attendee followed me home, and they were marveled. They were really wowed. That morning, my wife was doing some washing, and the washing machine, I mean, she's done like 3 rounds of washing. That morning, there was no power from the grid in the estate, so generator was everywhere. And when the entered the gate, they saw that calmness. They were like, okay, seems you don't even have a generator. I said, no. I mean, anyway, so at the end of the day, I realized that 60% of that, I mean, those people that visited the house, those were the first set of energy customers. Okay. I mean, they didn't sign
up. Seeing is believing, right?
Seeing is believing. But I can tell you that they didn't sign up the first month. They didn't sign up the second month.
They watched.
They watched. They came. Oh, it's still working. The second month, it's still working. The third month, it's still working. Then from the fourth month, the same day we had the first two customers, right? Us to check that this has come to stay. And I can tell you two of those are, I mean, one of what we call Elevangelists. They've really, I mean, one of them work with one of the big four, and I mean, he has really done well by telling the story of energy.
Right. So now, from there, from your first few customers in your estate, you're now, in 2019, you're one of the leading off-grid energy companies in Nigeria. You're poised for huge growth. How did the journey happen? Because what you're doing now is quite different from what you started out.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the largest in Nigeria, you said. Thank you. I take that as a compliment. You're right. We started with residential, and of course, I mean, along the line, around 2015, we got into the Bank of Industry rural electrification program, and of course, that gave us some good visibility too. But it got to a point that we had to take a step back. I mean, like I mentioned, the reason why energy was funded initially. Businesses, Oman Telecoms, I mean, they became innovative. They needed energy reliability, right? So we then had to take a step back. Where in the value chain? Because, this is huge. Electricity, I mean, so there is a World Bank Dahlberg report that states that any country that do not get up to 4 hours of electricity, they live off grid. So we see, I mean, the whole country has opportunity for decentralized power, renewable power, energy reliability to come into play. So now what we've seen is we want to really make an impact. Residential, yes, it's good if people can have uninterrupted power at home, but we believe that we can make more impact if we focus our effort on businesses.
Okay.
Because if we are able to power businesses in Nigeria, they are able to run sustainably, it will help the narrative of the unemployment rate that is rising and all that. We will be able to create jobs. Like I mentioned, less than 2 years experience that I had in the telecom was able to land me consulting role globally. Right, so can we create the same thing for our teaming youth in the decentralized energy? I mean, in the US, solar job at a time, was higher than even job from oil and gas.
Okay,
can we have the same thing? Can we replicate that in Nigeria? And that's why now we're focusing our effort on small and medium businesses.
Okay,
is it in the healthcare? I mean, Nigeria has one of the worst results or data. I mean, on mortality rate, we're the first. We're only better than Sierra Leone, Chad, and Central African Republic. Electricity alone has been proven that if we're able to provide our hospitals electricity, we will be better off. Our women will not die because there is no power supply. Mm-hmm. So that is why we're now focusing on healthcare and hospitality and education. We want uninterrupted electricity. We want to provide energy reliability to our schools, to our retail, to our small businesses. And now we have a target by 2023 to power 35,000 Nigerian businesses.
Okay.
And the mission will be fulfilled if by the end of 2023 I look at the data and I can say that indeed we've powered 35,000 businesses.
Okay. So now you talked about, I think you're driven a lot by the social impact. How if a school has power, children can obviously get a better education. If a hospital or a clinic has power, there's better healthcare outcomes,
right?
But does it make money?
Absolutely. So the good thing is most of these businesses, they already spend on the clean and dirty fuel. We have some of our healthcare clients that have 4 generators.
Okay.
And even with the 4 generators, there is no reliability.
Right.
Right. And when you then look at the effect of, on the environment, the negative effect. So, we're making social impact, and we able to get profit. So at the end of the day, we are at that intersection where we are doing good and we're still creating value for the shareholders, because we need to run it sustainably, right? And that's exactly what we're doing.
Right. Okay. So before we go to the phone lines for a few calls, maybe describe again what is the service you provide very specifically? And then you've mentioned your clients are small businesses, mostly in healthcare, education,
hospitality, retail, and small businesses in general.
Okay. And so what is your service provide?
Okay. So now we have two main products, which is we call it Energy 3000, and the second one is Energy 5000. Energy 3000 is more or less your 3 kVA generator, really. But now a clean generator, solar powered generator with storage. And we have the Energy 5000, which is equivalent to a 5 kVA to a 6.5 kVA generator. And it's fully powered by solar. So, I mean, the customers don't need to buy fuel, and they can acquire it in three methods. One is what we call ES, that's energy subscription. So that means, most of the concerns that people have about solar now is it's expensive and all that. With us, you don't need to buy if you are, opting for the energy subscription. So the second option is the lease to own. We call it LO. Some customers, for the energy subscription, customers don't get to own. It's more or less as a utility. You just pay on a monthly basis and you get service, and we're responsible for maintenance. Battery is bad and all that. It's not their headache because we are fully responsible for that. So the second one is the lease to own. We call it LO, where customers that prefer to own, maybe because of our culture, some people still want to own. They can own, but they don't have to pay upfront. They can pay monthly over 36 months to own the system. And for customers that have the money to buy outrightly, we won't say no to them. Mm-hmm. So far, they're businesses, because we're strictly focusing on businesses now. We are happy to sell to them outrightly, and we call that outright sales, OS. And one thing that I need to mention again is we're enabling other businesses, because we've seen that this is big, and energy cannot be in 36 states of the nation at a time. So we are onboarding partners. Some people might call them distributors, but we see them more as partners that we can onboard. And for some states that energy is probably not ready to go as a company, we are happy to onboard them and we work together to ensure that we reach Nigerians and we provide Nigerians energy reliability as fast as possible.
All right. And just since Lagosians are mostly what's listening today, you're fully operational in Lagos?
Absolutely. Yep. We are everywhere. Look and crannies of Lagos.
All right. So, Depot, can you share the numbers that people can call in if they have questions for Femi?
Call us on 01-277-0993, 01-277-1993, 01-277-2993, and 01-277-3993. This is Nigeria Info. We are listening.
Okay, so while we're waiting for the first caller, Femi, I know one of the interesting things about your business is that you do as much of the local assembly as you can, and you do the R&D locally. How are you finding that in terms of comparing to other companies? Does that give you an edge?
Yeah, it gives an edge on twofold, because we are able to own, because we had a lot of value to the systems and not just bringing in and just selling it. So we had value, so that gives us an edge, and it's allow us to be able to create more job.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right, so I think we have a caller. So go ahead. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, this is calling from my delivery.
Okay, please speak a little louder. We can't hear you very well.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Just speak a little louder. What is your question?
Okay, the 3,000 kg, how much can somebody afford for that?
Okay. So for the ES, the customer pays us just 36,000 naira monthly, and they have uninterrupted electricity.
Okay.
36,000 naira.
That's correct.
Okay.
And Femi, how does that compare to someone who's operating a generator?
So
the same capacity?
So what we have done, and based on the data. So based on the data, we are able to save customers between 20 to 25% of what they spend at the moment. And that is, I mean, it's proven data. We have, I can tell you, the healthcare sector is one of, I mean, where we see a lot of inbound requests, because they've tested it and we can't seem to be able to catch up with the volume of order we're getting from the healthcare sector.
So it's a 25-30% savings on top of, obviously, the environmental benefits, the noise benefits.
Absolutely.
Everything. Okay. Do you have another call? Okay, go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is my name. Bob, good morning. Is it 3,000 kVA or 3 kVA?
So that's 3 kVA.
Uh-huh.
So we call it energy 3,000. No, energy 3,000. It's a 3 kVA okay. system.
All right. I just want to say well done.
Thank you.
Soon or later, I will soon join the same thing because I have invention I'm working on, which Mr. Wibob is aware of it.
Welcome on board.
All right.
Hello?
All right, good morning. Go ahead.
How can I reach the guest? I need Ross's number. I call them.
Okay, Femi, how do they reach you? On Twitter or on your website? Where should they reach you?
Maybe phone call. We have a 24-hour contact center.
Okay.
So the number is 080-22-88-8840.
Maybe
080-22-88-8840 and 41. That's okay. The contact center number.
Okay, fantastic. And so that's where new customers can call?
Absolutely.
Plus current customers.
Current customers, new customers, and it's a 24-hour contact center.
Okay, all right. Do you have another call? Okay.
Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning. Go ahead.
Thank you for what you're doing here on the radio. Obi from Festac.
All right, go ahead. What's your question?
What is the durability of the product? How long does it last? Is it something you can guarantee for 2 years, 1 year, something like that?
Okay,
so... another question is, what is the challenge with some of these power cars, these solar systems that don't work? What are their challenges? The challenges actually? Show more light on them.
Okay, so again, it's about the quality, and that's why, I mean, like I mentioned, we have three systems. We even have systems that you don't have to own. So because we can guarantee the quality of what we provide, right, that's why we have those solutions. And I mean, for customers that buy our systems outrightly, I mean, our new systems come with 5 years warranty, so you don't have to change anything, I mean, in 5 years. And of course, the solar panel has longer warranty, more than 10 years.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
All right, good. So I think we need a roundup now. Thank you for the calls. But Femi, I guess this is your chance. What can Nigerians expect in the next 3 years, both from Arnergy and the general off-grid energy sector? Is there hope in sight for the endless power problems?
Absolutely. I mean, we are in exciting times now, really. 2019, 2020, 2021, 3 years like you mentioned. I mean, we see that shift, into decentralized renewable energy power solutions. I mean, it has come to stay. I mean, it has taken a while, but Nigerians get it now. And with the different acquisition mechanisms that are coming into play, I mean, I see that, the future is bright. And the good thing is there is international investment, FDI that is, looking into the space very actively. I mean, not only, I mean, in our company, but I mean, across the industry. So that is actually the hope that we have in the country. I mean, we know that there will be energy mix, but we see distributed energy solution, especially solar, taking a significant chunk of that energy mix that will give Nigerians uninterrupted, reliable energy.
All right. Thank you, Femi. This has been a fantastic half hour. Thank you for sharing your personal journey story, and as well as the story of Arnergy. And I think, you know, as you heard from the listeners, there's a lot of enthusiasm. And I think we all want you to succeed.
Thank you.
And thank you for your part in coming back home to start addressing this problem rather than just talking about the problem.
It's my pleasure.
So thanks again for coming. And Lagos, we're done now for this week, but we look forward to being back next week. Next week, we will feature the CEO of Daystar Power, Christian Vessels, and he'll talk about what they're doing to address the power problem. Until then, over and out. Thank you.
89.3.
Your reliable station for more information around Nigeria.
99.3 Nigeria Info. 99.3 Nigeria Info. We'll be right back.
So you're a fashion heavyweight or a designer. Win up to 1 million Naira.
In the Chronicle 2019 Ankara Talent.
Come dress in your Ankara-themed outfits and be the winner of the Carnicle Ankara Challenge. Carnicle 2019 will have fashion show, music, art gallery, and Brazilian samba dancers. Carnicle 2019, taking place at the Muriokola Park, Victoria Island, Lagos. Date, January 26th and 27th, 2019. Time is 2 p.m. Get your tickets at ariatickets.com and cooltickets.ng. Carnicle 2019 is supported by Munchit and brought to you by Wazobia FM.